There is an endless sea of podcasts about entrepreneurship. Talking about it, but not living it. We live it every day. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel, talking about real estate investing, but also encompassing general subjects in regards to owning small to medium-sized businesses, and of course, all the struggles that business owners must overcome to be successful. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, and this is Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Today we have a treat for you. We have a special guest, David Richter. How are you, David?
Doing very well. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Well, we are happy to have you on today. And just a little bit about David. So David is an active real estate investor who has been essential in closing over 850 deals, which include wholesale, turnkey, BRRRR, owner finance, rentals, lease options, and any other exit strategy you can think of. While growing and building a real estate business from 5 deals a month to over 25 deals a month, he realized as much money was coming in, it was going right out. With the unique opportunity of being in every seat as a real estate investor, he found a calling to the company's finance seat to help see where their money was really going. David has helped real estate companies completely turn around from going out of business to building cash reserves through his profit advising company, Simple CFO Solutions LLC. He is the author of Profit First for Real Estate Investing. His goal in life is to completely transform the real estate investing industry when it comes to how real estate investors view their finances and bring them true financial clarity and freedom. So amen to that, David. So why don't you start out by telling us a little bit about yourself? We're going to get into the book heavily here, but every successful person has a story. So we'd love to hear your story.
Awesome. So I started with Rich Dad Poor Dad in college. A good friend gave me that. So that was kind of like the eye-opening book for real estate and just thinking differently. So I got started the same way as a lot of people. And from there, it was buying a house, renovating it, and renting it out, sold it years later on lease option. So it was an amazing experience. So I'm like, I got to do more of this. That's when I partnered with, you know, a real estate investor up there that in Northwest Indiana, where I was living right outside of Chicago, that I was talking with, that Sean knows and you know, Joni.
Yeah.
So I was working there and with that group for 5 years. And that was a great experience. You know, like we grew up from 5 deals a month to about 25 or 30 deals a month. And, you know, I got to see all different deal types and be involved in that and be involved and see how a small business runs too. This was more about, I was getting a great education, not just on real estate, but the team and working together and what that really means. So that was a really good opportunity for me as well too, just to see how a team runs. So that was a lot of fun. And then about 5 years into that, I sold the thing. I had, you know, started buying some rentals and getting a portfolio and doing some deals like that. So I had sold everything I had about 5 years into it. And we moved across the country and started working with, another investor in the Richmond, Virginia area. And because there's a lot of great investors there.
Right?
So started working with one there. And, you know, just one of the things is the finances and just going in right away. Because after sitting in the finance seat and then the one in Northwest Indiana, my eyes were really opened to, you know, you can be doing a lot of deals, but not necessarily making a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, you know, I went in first with this guy in Richmond, Virginia and said, I got to see your books. I got to see your numbers. You know, I got to know that this is profitable or we're on the way to profitability. And, you know, like most investors, like, here's the books, but there's nothing, you know, like it was all a mess, nothing really there. So, you know, I was like, we got to fix this and we got to fix this ASAP because I need data. I need to know how to analyze the business. I need to know where we can take this. So that's kind of what got me started on the financial path. And then after transforming that and the finances, and he was able to refinance out a lot of his portfolio, his properties, and put a lot of money in his pocket. He said, this has been life changing and, you know, transformative for the business. And I said, I need to help more people with their, you know, with their finances, just having a basic handle on their numbers. So that's kind of what got me started down the path of real estate investing for the last now 10 years. And now helping people from the financial aspect as well too, because I wanted to give people more of that clarity, and that with clarity comes that confidence and feeling of control inside the business.
Yeah, that's awesome. Where were you 15 years ago?
We could have used you in high school.
We could have used you because we're gonna get a lot into this, but throughout the show. But God, like, you know, for years, you know, we didn't have this. Much like you talk about in the book, and there were ups and downs and roller coasters, and like, you think you're doing all these deals and you think you're making all this money, but there's no money in the bank account, and you can't understand why. But to be honest with you, and I had this in my notes, you know, most of us got into real estate investing because of Rich Dad Poor Dad. Right. And I think a lot of people, that's usually the foundational book that starts it. And I don't say this much, so this is a huge compliment to you. I think the second most important book is your book. I just happened to read it. I've read Profit First, and we met Michael, I think, in the same mastermind. I think you were there as well when he came and spoke, but that wrote Profit First. But Profit First for Real Estate Investing, I just think it's a game changer if you own a real estate investing business. I think it's, or a rental business. I think it's the steps and keys to running a successful business. And you know, I've been doing this now for 22 years. I've lived all the mistakes that you talk about. I've lived all the ups and downs. And really, it took us since the last 5 years to really get our books and everything really dialed in, and the impact it makes in your sanity, in your relationship, and everything else. And so I don't think people realize. So I think if you're starting and you're getting going and you're doing deals, like, you have to read this book, you have to implement it, because it is a game changer when it comes to the finances. So kudos to you for what you're doing. I think it's awesome. Well,
thank you very much. I do take that as a high compliment.
So let's get into it. I know that a lot of, real estate investors, like, what are the common issues that you do see when it comes to finances and, you know, financing, cash flow, and profitability?
So we all know we're good at making deals happen. We're good at making the money, making it rain. And I feel like this is where, you know, Rich Dad Poor Dad starts that journey of there's a different language to learn, and there's a different, you know, like, you need to pay yourself, and, you know, it's like it opens up your mind as a business owner. And then Profit First takes it to the next level of like, hey, you know how to make the money, we got to keep it too.
Right.
Keeping it's a different skill, and here's how to keep the money that you're making. So I feel like one of the big mistakes a lot of people make is in the real estate world, or just entrepreneurs in general, is because they have that lack of knowledge. Knowledge is power. So if they have that lack of knowledge with the real estate and the keeping the money side, they're just going to stick their head in the sand and be like, it's fine. As long as we're bringing deals in, that's all that matters. You know, as long as there's more, you know, as long as we're still making money, as long as we're still closing deals, that's really all that matters. And the financial side, yeah, whatever, you know, like, at the end of the day, hopefully we still have money in the bank account. And, you know, as long as we have the money to do this, that, or the other thing, or invest in another property, we will be good. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of people, I believe, stick their head in the sand and just say, okay, you know, I'm going to give this to a bookkeeper or a CPA and just, you know, ride off into the sunset while I do deals here. And a lot of business owners don't realize that they need some level of savviness. They need some level of knowing what's going on from the cash side of their business, what the finances are. So that's definitely one of the big mistakes I see, is sticking a head in the sand. Another big mistake is having one big bank account where everything goes in and out of, you know, because that's another big thing where you can feel like a king or queen one day and then a pauper the next. And like, where the heck did all my money go? You know, and like, not having a clear grasp on that. And so, you know, and tossing that cash salad every single day and every single month. So those are a couple of the big mistakes I see with real estate investors and entrepreneurs in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's probably simple if you're just doing one deal one deal at a time. But as you start to grow this thing, and you're doing multiple deals, and you start doing rehabs, and you start taking on private money, and you start, it complicates things. Right. And I think And like you said, I think most real estate investors are just busy, doing the deals and moving.
Granted, we were there. I mean, these same mistakes we made.
Yeah.
So if we could have had this early on.
Yeah. And so it just, we've seen it because after 22 years, I've seen a lot of people go under. And it's usually because they didn't have what you talk about and their finances in order. They didn't manage their bank money or their private money really well. They didn't know where all the money was going. And it led to financial destruction. And so I think it's key to know, and we're going to get into it, but talking about the buckets and everything. So if you wouldn't mind, like, getting into telling us a little bit more about the book, why you wrote it, and then what's some of the concepts behind it. I asked multiple questions within one question, but there you go.
So the reason I wrote it originally was for those people in the book, and those real estate investors that I was working with, that Profit First works for them, but it works in a different way for the real estate investing world. So I wanted to get specific and drill down to the questions a lot of people had about Profit First and how it relates to real estate investing. Then I'm a huge proponent of this message too, of like just getting that you don't have to live deal to deal. You don't have to live paycheck to paycheck, month to month. You can get out of the real estate rat race. And now with our business and whatnot, I just had like two calls today with real estate investors and they're there. Like, I don't have clarity, I don't know where I'm headed. I don't know what, is this worth it? I'm not paying myself anything. It's like, it's for those types of conversations to be like, you don't have to stay there. Right. You don't have to stay stuck in that mindset or in that place. So that was my original intention because I knew we're not going to be able to work with everyone. We, our team is growing and scaling, but like, I need this message at least to get it out there. So that way people like you said, so that way 15 years from now, at least they'll have, they could look back 15 years ago and say, hey, at least this book was there. Right. At least this message was there. So, cause that's what I want to do. I want to make sure I'm getting this message out to the real estate investing community, and saw a lot of nuances in the real estate world, that are different than brick and mortar or service-based business. So those are a couple of the big key reasons that I wrote the book. And, this book and this philosophy, it really is just all about make sure you're paying yourself, make sure you actually have profit at the end of the day, and that you're building good habits. I mean, a lot of us get into bad habits because we don't know better. We don't know better because we are the entrepreneur. We are the money maker, but we're not the finance person, which I totally get and totally understand. And if you read this book, this is not just all about learning QuickBooks or learning, the accounting systems. It's about managing the money that you're responsible for. So that's really what more the core message is, than it is, oh, you need to know how to manage your finances. It's you need to be paying yourself and building good habits in your business.
Can you get into some of those, like the concepts from Profit First, so people can have, without, taking away from the book or, but just kind of, just so they know what to expect and some of the main concepts behind the theory.
I also know that most people, even if they buy the book, that's step number one, but if they buy it, are you going to actually read it too? So I don't mind sharing all the concepts and everything. Cause I do, I have to get this message out. Like, if you're listening to this now, I don't want you stuck wherever you are. And if you're just starting out or if you're 1,000 deals in. So Profit First has two major components. First, the mindset, and then the practical application of the mindset. So that mindset is, we've been fed a bad formula that, our accountants or other business owners or whatnot that we feel like sounds pretty, sounds pretty logical. It's sales minus expenses equals profit. Like, make a sale, pay everyone else and their mother, and what we have left over is our profit at the end of the day or month or quarter or year, or whatever. Hopefully we have that. That's where Profit First turns that formula on its head and says, no, it's sales minus profit equals expenses. Meaning I make a sale, I take my profit first, and then what I have left over is for the expenses. Mm-hmm. Basically, just shifting the mindset of, I'm not a Snapchat or Facebook. I'm not going to get all this venture capital. I need to make sure that we're profitable at every single stage. Mm-hmm. So if I'm just starting out, I need to build good habits from day one. Or if I'm at 1,000 days in, I need good habits now. you know, I'm 1,000 deals in, then I need to have good habits now going forward, you know, for the next 1,000 deals.
Yeah.
So that's where getting into the habit of making profit a habit on every deal, on every single month, on every single day, you know, like this is the profit that we have in the business. So that is truly the concept behind paying yourself first, like Robert Kiyosaki teaches. That's what I also say too. I feel like we've gotten that mindset as a real estate investor from different sources too.
Right.
Like we've heard that from Rich Dad Poor Dad or The Richest Man in Babylon, you know, like a portion of all I have is mine to keep. That's why I love the practical side of profit first too, because it says, here's how you make profit a habit. Here's how you feel like a business owner. Here's how you can stop living deal to deal and stop living that real estate rat race and in that hamster wheel. So that's where that second part of it, that practical steps of actually getting things in place to live out the habit. So we can go into that too, but the first big part is that mindset of sales minus profit equals expenses.
Nice.
Yeah, that's wow. That's great. Thanks for sharing that. I also want to kind of get into what is the profit first for real estate investors, an instant assessment.
So the instant assessment, this is something where you need to know as a business owner that, oh, and my daughter just walked in on me. I'm so sorry.
Hi.
There we go. I'm on a podcast. Yes, I'm on the TV right there.
Say profit first.
Right? I should have locked my door. This is my bad.
No, you're good. You're good. What's your name?
What's your name?
Ellie Rose with that.
Ellie Rose Richter.
Oh,
L-L-I-E.
Awesome. Nice. Ellie, you good are job. Awesome. So, David, in the book, you talk about the PFREI instant assessment. Can you tell us what that is?
So, the instant assessment is knowing where have I been and where do I want to go? It's a very high level assessment that anyone can do in their business. I talk about in the book before that, you need to know what you need as far as a business owner and just human being of like, how much do I need to bring in every single month to make sure my family's taken care of, to make sure that they feel comfortable and like that they feel, you know, provided for. So once you have that number, doing the instant assessment is you need to know like two numbers. What did I make over the last 6 months or 12 months, you know, like whatever time period? And then what did I keep? You know, like what did I make? What did I keep? And is it enough? Because what we're trying to go for is what percentage of what you're making are you keeping right now? Because that's really a lot of business owners, like I said, just on these calls all the time. Like I'm not paying myself. I'm like, how do you have EAT money? You know, like what, like where are you getting that right now? And some people have W-2 jobs or some people are like, you know, just playing the money shuffle game between entities or, you know, and it's like, we got to get you to where you know, what have I made? What am I keeping of what I've made? And is it enough? And do we need to adjust what that number is? Because that's one of the first things that opens the eyes usually of owners too, is like, oh shoot, you know, like I'm keeping this and it might be an okay amount, but versus what I'm spending, you know, like my spending's out of control. That's why I can't, you know, pay myself what I need. So it's just to open the eyes and get some really, you know, high level numbers of where have I been? Where am I going? And where am I currently in percentages? So I know exactly what I need in order to get to where I want to be money-wise for myself and for my family.
Yeah. Wow, that's awesome.
What I've noticed is in this industry, the sad part is where most people are getting it from is borrowed money. And then they get themselves into big trouble. But especially in this industry, but, I was going to tell you, but the, instant assessment. What I love about, you know, what you outline in the book too, is once you take that assessment, right, it might be I think you said some people hung up on you or walked out of the room or something in your book when you gave them that assessment, like it's all of a sudden they see it now and they can't hide under the pillow, put their head in the sand. But the good part is that, hey, now you know where you're at, you know where you want to go. And I would think what you really outline in the book well is too, is like, okay, let's just make, and then this goes to any, like right now as a company, in our organization, we're reading Atomic Habits. So like what I'm getting at is you can just start 1% change, right? In all these areas and just start working towards where you want to be. But it's not like, I think some people are like, you know, I know I'm a mess change. And I need to be here, but like it's too big of a jump. And, you know, right. I think they put their head in the sand. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. And I love that book, Atomic Habits. And it goes well with profit first, because the whole point of this system is to make profit a habit inside of your business. So it is those little things, those just little tweaks that can get you into a better position.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Can you explain, you know, the premise a lot of behind the book too is starting to setting up separate bank accounts, right? For each, and what you call buckets, I guess you could just, we could just say buckets for now, but like buckets for, as you have revenue come in, you start allocating that revenue based upon where you're headed, right? You can probably say this a lot better than I can. But can you explain that and then explain, like, what are the major buckets that you start allocating money to so they can see a picture of it, kind of?
Yeah. So the practical side of that mindset is, you know, we all as business owners probably check our bank accounts way more than we do a QuickBooks account or, you know, or something like that. So that's where putting the power back into your hands of being able to manage your money from the bank balances, because the people that have one big bank account are already doing that, but it provides no clarity whatsoever. And, you know, it's just like, oh, I have money in there, then I can spend it and let's move on. That's where breaking out that one bank account into sub accounts that are really clear and powerful and that are for the business owner. That's what I want to make sure, that this is not just about opening bank accounts and moving the money. This is like, no, this is to get in good profit habits. Because the first three accounts, like I say in the book, you know, I call them the golden trio, because, you know, I like Star Wars, Harry Potter, you know, like those big epic sagas of movies. And they always have the three main heroes that are always pushing the story forward for good. And, you know, that's where in your business, you need three main heroes that are always pushing your story for good, because your business is your epic saga. It's your Star Wars, you know, like you're living that out and you need to make sure you're winning in the end. And a lot of people, you know, are inadvertently setting them up for failure themselves by not having some of these habits in place or being able to see exactly where the money's going. So those first three accounts are the profit account, the owner's comp account, and the owner's tax account. And those are the three that are for the owner's benefit, you know, because taxes are always going to come up. Even if you have rentals or whatnot, you should be saving just a little bit, you know, to make sure that you've got your tax liability covered. If you're in an active business like flipping or wholesaling, that is going to come up every single year that you owe taxes. So like saving throughout the year instead of just scrambling at the end. Owner's comp, because I always get asked, what's the difference between profit and owner's comp? So owner's comp is the regular salary or draws or whatever you take to pay yourself. You know, like if that means that you pay yourself every other week or every week or monthly or whatnot, those are the regular draws of what you need as a human being. You know, that's to pay you and for the work you do in the business. The profit account is more like the reward at the end of a quarter for running a profitable company. So if you're putting money in there, like when you first start, that profit account might be very small. Mm-hmm. It might be $10, it might be $100, it might be $1,000. You know, who knows what you have at the very beginning, but that's where you're starting to get into the habit of, I'm going to set aside profit. It's going to be actual cash profit that I can take. And then we advise to take it every quarter. So every quarter you take up to 50% of what's in that profit account to be like, this is profit, pure profit that I've made from the business. That's not tied to my pay. That's not tied to taxes. That doesn't have to be covered for anything else. So that way I can take the money out of here and do what I want with it and feel like that business owner. Because a lot of people get discouraged. A lot of people say, I'm working, you know, 80 hours now versus the 40 hours a week I was working, you know, for someone else, you know. So it's like, that's where that profit account really gives you that shot in the arm of like, we're doing good. We're doing well. Mm-hmm. That profit account too can pay down debt. That's another big thing. Mm-hmm. We work with a lot of real estate investors and just people in general, you know, just, we have this, you know, if you have debt that's keeping you up at night, then that account can start to help wipe that out as well too. So that's that margin you're building into your business in order to, you know, wipe out some of that stuff. It's that cushion or that barrier. So those are three of the main accounts. The other accounts is an income account, where that is like, I call it the control account. I like that terminology because income comes into that one account and then now you're pushing it out to other accounts now. Like you were saying, Sean, about doing the, you know, allocating to those accounts. Well, if you have one account where everything comes in, now you're in control of where your money goes, which accounts it goes to, and saying, I know exactly how much we have in these accounts because I'm the one pushing it there. And I know, like, I have this much in profit, this much in to pay myself, this much in taxes. And then that fifth account is the OPEX or operational expenses. And that's where you pay your bills and whatnot. And everyone already has that set up. So then it's like giving you a clear picture of where your money is. So those are the five core accounts, the five fundamental profit first accounts. And to go along with that, I know this is a lot of accounts, but the sixth account that I would say that's uber important for a real estate investor specifically that I mentioned in the book, I think about 1,000 times, mm-hmm. is the OPM account. So other people's mm-hmm. money. So you're not mixing, you know, if those five accounts are to run your business and run the profitability and run the operations, OPM, that OPM bank account needs to be separate so that way you can run your projects or whatnot and not dip into your personal yeah. funds or into your operational funds. So that's where, you know, those are the six fundamental accounts mm-hmm. for real estate investors that I love to set up. Then I always have, you know, like if you don't want to set up a bunch of accounts like that, if you're like, that's too hard or whatnot, first of all, these accounts are for you and for your benefit. But besides that, set up one account, name it profit, and transfer 1% into that account. Like, start getting into the habits. Because like, if I tell you on this podcast and you're just hearing this concept for the first time, you might be like, six bank accounts, that's, you know, that's a lot to soak in and a lot to do. Yeah. But that's where at least do one thing. I will say that this podcast was a success because if you can just do that one step, open that one account, name it profit, transfer 1%, and start building good habits around managing your finances and becoming truly cash profitable.
Yeah, that's awesome. Great. Yeah. I like how you, in the book, I always felt like a lot of times when you read certain books, you're like trying to apply it to your business and you're like, it's not that simple. And I'm sure any business has that. But it's, when you're having other people's money, you're having rental income, you're having, you know, multiple scenarios, and you've done a really good job of applying it to the real estate industry and really narrowing down what buckets you're really going to mm-hmm. need. And I think that's what truly helps. And I think if you're running this type of business, I don't see how you would operate without, you know, implementing a lot of what you're talking about. Yeah. So you really made it practical. And I would say simple.
I was going to say, I mean, it seems so simple, right? I mean, why do you think the real estate investors don't implement it or implement, you know, profit first? What do you see? Why do they mess up?
So like you said, right there, it's simple. The concepts are simple, mm-hmm. but you're building a habit. You're building this discipline around it. And that's not always the most fun part. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you'll see results right away. Like if you start putting money into an account, like you'll see tangible results right away. But like people want to see the big checks or want to see the big reserves. And it's like, that takes the time and discipline to run the system. Because one of the the biggest things that I see that derails a lot of real estate investors is they start setting up this system, mm-hmm. but then they're rating the accounts all the time. You know, like they're taking from this account and like they're not truly setting it up to be
success. We've been there.
Yeah.
Again, guys, need to read this book.
And that's where, yeah, you know, just like that. I see that all the time too. Like so many people set it up, but then they're like, okay, we need to make sure that we're actually following the system. So mm-hmm. That's where I see a lot of people mess up at the beginning when they first start out. They're like either too aggressive on their percentages or they're too aggressive putting things away. And then they're like, oh, shoot, I actually need to take from this account or I need to, you know, this was too much over here. And, you know, then they get discouraged and it's like, why am I doing this? And it's like, well, no, we need to be realistic with where you are now, what we can actually do. What are the real percentages we need to have in place? So that way it can be, so that way we're building this system and this habit. And not just, you know, kicking ourselves all the time for, oh man, I just had to raid the accounts again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So something that I wanted to emphasize too that I read in your book and, you know, Joni and I have really learned from, I think like on page 42, you said bigger isn't always better.
Yeah.
And I wanted to emphasize that because I especially in this industry for whatever, you know, you go to these seminars, you go to the masterminds and everything. Everybody's pounding their chest. How many deals? And you walk around, you're like, man, I'm not doing enough. And he's doing this many. I can do that many. And you have no logical reason behind it because you're just, other than doing more deals.
If but you're not profitable, what does it matter?
So, yeah, can right. get into that. Because you've seen it, and you took a company that scaled rapidly, and bigger isn't always better, correct?
Yeah, all the time, because that's something with the owner too. What is more important to you, scaling that company up or being profitable? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like having that conversation with the owner of like, okay, we can scale, but we got to put some things in place first before we scale.
Right.
Like, especially around the finances, because then if you're, you know, if you're putting more fuel into a plane that's going down, you're just going to go down quicker. You know, mm-hmm. like that's where we have to make sure that we're putting fuel into the gas tank of a plane that's actually taking off and like scaling in the right way. So I feel like, you know, how a lot of people say sales solves all problems. Mm-hmm. It solves all problems when you have a profit first system in place, you know, like to be able to catch the money and, you know, have that be recycled into the business and into the owner and into, you know, like what's truly important to that business owner. But yeah, a lot of people get caught up in masterminds or the comparison game, or, you know, social media has made it so much worse of just, we get to see the best of everyone all the time, right. usually there on social media. Yeah. And it's like, that's not really what's happening.
That's not reality.
If you dove into their business, or if you don't, you know, like, oh, great. Mm-hmm. They just picked up 10 properties this month, but you know, five of them, they're going to either turn away or like lose the contract, or like the other five, you know, or like $1,000 profit margin, you know, yeah. or whatnot. Yeah. So it's like, what is it more important to you? Is it that number of deal size, or is it, you know, the profitability? And like everyone always says when they're asked that question, it is the profitability. You know, we do want to scale and grow, but we do want to be profitable while we're doing that. And, you know, that's where we've worked with a lot of companies and said, here, you know, like where, before you scale or before you add this next person, we got to get some of these things in place, like the profitability or this habit here. And then, you know what? Then we can scale from profit. You know, like now we can scale from our profitability rather than thinking that scaling is going to fix our profitability issue when it just adds gasoline to that fire that's already blazing. So that's what a lot of people, because we have a client that was like that too. He was like, oh, I want to go gung ho and, you know, just, you know, do 1,000 deals a year or whatever, you know, like all this stuff here and at masterminds. Then we were like, what do you really need for your business and for your lifestyle and for where you are now? And it turns out he only had to do like one flip a quarter. Wow. And so he like scaled down to one flip a quarter. And he's like, this is the best I've ever felt, you know, like as far as the money goes and as far as the flipping business, because he hated the flipping business when he thought he was in comparison mode and wanted to scale up. But once you get this system in place, it lets you take a step back and say, what do I really want to do? Do I want to scale and grow? And if I do, okay, then I'll be cutting into my profit percentage, but that's fine because now I have a profit percentage to actually cut into, you know, to grow. Or do I just want to stay smaller and be very profitable with where we are now? So just that one implementation of being able to say, I've got the choice now. It's not now of necessity that I need to grow because I got to get myself out of this situation mm-hmm. or I've got to get myself more, you know, money coming in. Now it's more like, do I want to grow?
Right.
Do I want to take on more people on the team? Do I want to do this and, you know, work this into the plan?
Yeah. And I think the biggest takeaway from all that too was like scaling in, you're not going to scale into profitability, I guess is the best. Right. Yeah. And maybe you can get lucky or something, but I mean, it's you probably have a better chance of hitting the lottery or something because it's I mean it's just going to compound the habits or the mismanagement that you're already doing that's causing yep. you not to be profitable. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna speak to us because I always like to ask a question that relates to us. So say you've made it a little bit, you know, beyond just a smaller, you have mature larger companies, you know, accounting staff. You know, multiple
entities. Yeah.
I mean, multiple. Mm-hmm. What's the kickback? Because I guess like for us too, and we've gotten kickback is like number one, the accounting department doesn't want to go open up all these bank accounts, doesn't want to manage all that. Your CPAs don't get it. You know, speak to some of that. You know, as far as
yeah.
you know, advice, I guess.
That's where. you know, at the end of the day, the business owner cares about the business being healthy and them being profitable. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's really what the business owner cares about. So if you don't have a CPA or bookkeeper, you know, or accountant or CFO that likes profit first, I'd probably be thinking about hiring a new person. But then as far as the actual nitty gritty behind the scenes, because like we do a lot of that with our clients, having more bank accounts doesn't create a whole lot more headache. Like I used a new CPA this year and he didn't bring up at all like, oh, that I've got a bunch of bank accounts or all this. It was like, no, just give me your profit and loss. Give me these numbers. And it's like, okay, I'm doing the tax preparation for you, you know, and filing. And then for the bookkeeping side, like the day-to-day, like when you get income into the income account and push it out to those other accounts, mm-hmm. it's literally marked as a transfer. So it's like, this is not going to take a ton of your time. This is going to add an extra 5 seconds, you know, like when you actually do these transfers, you know, during the day or whatnot. So that's where I'm like, a lot of that is their perception that it's going to take a lot of their time and work. And you know where the real time and work comes into play is figuring out the profit percentages that work for you or the percentages that work for the business. Because the back end and the accounting, the actual physical accounting piece does not take a ton of time. It, like I said, at the end of the day, the owner wants clarity. They want confidence. They want that profitability. And so that's where if you have someone that's not for that, I'd be questioning then, mm-hmm. like, why are we working with them? Like, I know that they need to do things for the IRS, but like at the end of the day, they need to be helping us get to where we want to be.
Right. Awesome. That's awesome. So one thing we always ask our guests is, what's your next, David? What's your goals for the next 5 to 10 years?
So I'm building a fractional CFO company right now. So I want to get to 100 CFOs and 400 clients that we're working with and, you know, helping get to that better profitability and having that person on the team that's not the bookkeeper and not the CPA, but actually working for the business owner to be more profitable and have those better profitability margins. So that's really what I'm focusing on. That's why I, you know, one of the big reasons for this book too, because like I said, I can't work with everyone. So I wanted to at least get this message out.
Yes.
But that's kind of the next one on the horizon here is just building this team, building the quality that we're doing with our clients and really helping get them to where they need to be.
Awesome. And we always ask to, if you could go back, you know, you're a young guy, but go back just a little bit. And when you started out, what advice would you have given yourself, you know, in your early 20s or,
Well, in my early 20s.
He's like, I'm still 20. Just like, yeah.
I just turned 30 this year, so we're all good there.
You're good. You
know? Yeah. We're the old ones here, Sean. Yeah.
I would say, you know, like I always, whenever people ask this, I say, well, I'd love to have the profit first concepts a lot earlier because I think I'd have a whole lot more money now because of what that instills. Like, because I'd have 10 years worth, you know, of that compounding, of those habits compounding of it and having more money in the account. Because especially in real estate, once you start this and you start the profit first system, you start seeing the money start to accumulate. Like you actually see the results. And because you're a real estate investor, you can make more money in a short amount of time. So it like, just think if you had 10 years of that or 20 years of that, and that's compounding like of the snowball effect mm-hmm. of, you know, as we're doing more deals right. or as we have a more profitable company, it's doing that. So I'd tell myself, you need to either come up with this concept because it hasn't been, you know, written yet, or you need to like implement this right away, the profit first mentality.
I second that.
Yeah, that's how we, just for our listeners, before we started the show, we were telling him we needed your book 20 some years ago because right? we probably wouldn't be here. If we could have compounded what we've learned, mm-hmm. You know, especially in the last 5 years and how that's grown. If we could have done that, you know, instead of all the mistakes, it would, it does compound and makes a huge impact. So, David, we really appreciate you being here. We want to spread your message. And so how can people get a hold of you and work with you?
So simplecfosolutions.com, simple CFO, like chief financial officer, solutions.com. That is how to get a hold of us and to get started. There's a get started button right there on the main page. I also have a tab at the top for the book. If you're wanting to order the book, We have a podcast too, because I'm all about the free info to get out there, just to save yourself that your sanity. So we have a podcast link as well there for the Profit First REI podcast. So that's how to connect with us. It's got my Facebook links and all that too. It's the one-stop shop for all things Profit First for real estate investing. And if you want to work with us as well too.
Awesome. We're going to have everything else on the show notes, so everybody will have access to all that you just stated right now, David.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate that. Appreciate you spreading this message.
Yeah, thank you. So, and anything we can do for you, please let us know, but we'll keep spreading the word. And until next week, we'll see y'all later.
See you, everyone.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Cog, cog, cogging.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.